City Lights, Burning So Bright, An American Idol Season 8 Vampire AU, written by Her Love Was a Joke, and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13, contains the pairing Adam Lambert, Tommy Joe Ratliff, and is part 15 in the Screaming Down the Starlit Sky universe. For additional warnings, content, and author's notes, please check out my introduction post on my Instagram. Dramatizing, follow me, it rides on my back. I may be ugly, but they sure, love to stare. Tommy was getting really tired of the strange looks he kept getting everywhere he went. Buying a cup of coffee? Not before the chick at the counter gave him a disappointed look. Want something from the grocery store? Only after the old dude in line ahead of him gave him an openly hostile glare. It seemed like even random people on the street were pissed off at him, or disappointed in him, or what the fuck ever. Tommy had never seen any of them before in his life, and it was creeping him out, this feeling of always having eyes on him. No, it wasn't that someone was looking. It was that one particular pair of eyes were missing. Tommy wasn't exactly the most subtle guy in the world. Not with all those earrings and the shock of pale pink hair. So attention was to be expected. But if someone was going to look at him as though they knew his deepest, darkest secrets, he'd much prefer it to be someone who actually did. Only, here he was, far from home. Far from anyone who rightly knew him. Was it worth it? As the cuff of Tommy's hoodie rubbed roughly against the scar tissue on his wrist, Tommy decided that, yeah, okay, maybe it was. He planned to have Chicago in his rear view come morning, which was disappointing since he'd had these vague notions of settling down there when he first took off. The music scene would keep him happy for a while, at least, and from what he could remember of his lone trip there, the general atmosphere of the city would agree with him. He just figured that the whole damn city would go fucking nuts the minute he got there, what with the creepers who kept staring at him. Tommy was pretty sure that he'd even caught two chicks talking about him, arguing in whispered tones as they looked around to see if they'd attracted attention. So, Chicago was out, as was anywhere even remotely close. Tommy wanted distance. Incredible amounts of it. Stealing his nerves, he made his way to the gas station not far from his hotel, filled the tank with the cheapest stuff they had, and then spent a small fortune on maps and junk food to tide him over. He didn't know where he was going to end up, but a bag of Doritos and a couple boxes of Junior Caramels would keep him going as he sped down the highway. Luckily, the clerk on duty, some bored guy with greasy hair, didn't give Tommy a second glance. He didn't actually give him a first either, and Tommy was pretty grateful for that. It was almost novel after the last few days to just pay for his purchases and hurry back to his car. Not wanting to hang around and ruin the pathetic rush he felt at being treated as just another anonymous guy, he made short work of dumping the junk he just bought into the back seat of the car. The maps stayed in the front, within easy reach. He'd take them into the motel with him. This time, he was going to plan his damn route instead of just hitting the road blindly. Maybe he should have done that to begin with, he thought. But no, if he had stopped to think it over, Tommy knew he'd never have left at all. There was only so much his pride could take, and every day would have left him feeling more and more raw. At least here, it was more of a dull ache instead of a bright flare. I need a fucking shower, he muttered, rubbing at his face. He felt grimy, as though it had been longer than just a day since he'd last washed. He knew it was partly from the travel, from flying across the highway with all four windows down, the wind kicking up the dust and dirt both outside and inside the car. The hotel he'd chosen was a flea bag, really, but it was cheap and had surprisingly nice towels. The thought of warm water hitting his tense muscles, and of those fluffy white towels just waiting on the little shelf above the toilet, saw Tommy dragging off his clothes, leaving them all on the floor where they fell. He nearly tripped in his haste as he got into the tub. He laughed at himself for a moment, unable to stop the urge to look over his shoulder, to see if Adam was laughing too. The smile quickly faded from his face, taking with it the giddy excitement the thought of getting clean had given him. After that, he didn't want to linger, just quickly washed his hair and only allowed a minute or two for the spray to loosen the tension in his shoulders. The towels were ridiculously good for such a crappy motel, but Tommy didn't even care. He practically let out a low purr at the thick, fluffy pile as it rubbed along his skin, taking all traces of water with it. He'd never thought it was possible to be a slut for towels before. Live and learn. He wrapped a dry one around his waist and hung up the wet ones, knowing that he'd only end up stepping on a soggy mess in the middle of the night. Opening the door and shivering a little in the cool air conditioning, Tommy made his way toward the bed, where he'd left the two maps he'd bought. Sprawling across his belly, he opened the first one, a spiral-bound book that actually looked idiot-proof. Which was good, since the epic blood feud forged between him and Rand McNally would go on until the end of time. He'd just set his sights on Montreal, was so absorbed in following his finger as it traced the path of the highway, that Tommy didn't even hear the door to his room open. He did, however, hear it click shut. Head whipping up, Tommy felt his mouth fall open as he took in the vampire leaning against the door, one hand in his pocket, and a surprisingly indulgent look on his face, given the situation. "Water, baby," Adam said, shaking his head. "I knew you'd love those towels." It took Tommy a moment or two to really understand just what he was saying, but when he clued in, he was a little horrified. "You were here?" he asked. "You knew where I was?" "Blood calls to blood, Tommy," Adam said with a shrug. "I always know where you are. There's no such thing as disappearing when you've been marked. I thought I explained that to you when I did it." He had, in a way, but Tommy hadn't really been paying attention. It was hard to focus when his body was still singing with endorphins, and his wrist was sticky with blood from where Adam had bitten him. How was he supposed to pay attention to the words coming out of Adam's mouth in a situation like that? Tommy had been completely thrown for a loop from the blood loss, as if he'd care about the side effects of having had a small bit of Adam's blood in return. That he'd never tried to explain it again later, when Tommy was much more coherent, hadn't really sit right with him. It was one more thing added to the already long list of things that left Tommy feeling more like an outsider and less like something that belonged in Adam's life. The scar was just the last straw. "What the hell are you wearing?" Tommy blurted out stupidly. In his haste to avoid voicing all his thoughts, he had seized on the most inconsequential thing he could think of. Adam looked down at his clothes, running one hand down the finely tailored suit coat. He was ridiculously dressed up, though it was more muted than the things he favored back home. There were no sequins, no metal accents. He wasn't even wearing his rings, and his hair was just boring. "We're in Chicago, Tommy, and I wear the uniform as required," Adam said. "You really couldn't have picked a worse city to go to if you were trying to avoid vampires. Except maybe Montreal." Tommy couldn't help the way his face flushed at that, but he refused to look away or to feel stupid for having made such a bad choice. Instead, he added that to his mental list of reasons why he left Adam. "I don't understand," he was forced to admit a minute later, when it became clear that Adam was waiting for something. "And that's mostly my fault," he said with a sigh. Adam moved away from the door then, and Tommy shoved the maps on the floor as though he actually needed to make room for him to sit. Adam didn't take the implied spot, choosing instead to sit against the headboard, which put him right next to Tommy. Tommy, who was still clad in only a towel. "I'm just gonna..." He pointed toward the bathroom, but Adam shook his head. "Stay," he said. "I get the feeling that there's a lot that we need to talk about." "Understatement of the century right there." "We can get into the specifics of marking if you want," Adam began. "I can tell you about how I can feel you, how I can track you through it. It's not just about making sure none of the others get their hands on you." Tommy didn't want to start there. It was the least of the problems between them. It must have shown on his face, because he continued. "Or I can tell you about Brian and how he owns this city. He's the head of our gang out here. Anywhere, really. He has a far reach." Adam's hand once again smoothed down the front of his clothes, fingers toying with a polished button on his jacket. "You don't have a gang," Tommy snorted. The thought was ridiculous. "We all have one, whether we choose to strike out on our own or not. It doesn't happen often, and I'm something of a disappointment to my sire, though he likes to remind me that I'm a dandy regardless of the company I keep." "You're fucking shitting me," Tommy said in disbelief. Adam chuckled and reached out to pull him closer, amused by the look on Tommy's face. For a moment, Tommy forgot that he was supposed to be angry, forgot even that he was still wearing a towel. He let Adam draw him forward, only growing tense when Adam's hand skimmed his hip. Adam's face got so sad all of a sudden, but Tommy almost felt bad. But then he remembered how they'd found themselves in this situation to begin with, and he reminded himself that his anger was righteous. Or something. It was better than admitting that it had all grown quite hazy around the edges. "I'm not into this life, so I tried to keep you from it," Adam said, once Tommy had allowed himself to be tucked right up against his side. Whatever, he could be angry and comfortable at the same time. Besides, Adam was actually warm, and Tommy wasn't even half-dressed. "I knew it was dangerous even while I was doing it, but I couldn't stop myself. I owe you an apology for that." "Owe me more than one," Tommy said darkly, determined not to even accept it when Adam did offer it. "I'm sure I do, but you need to tell me for what, baby?" Adam pressed. "I'm not a mind reader. That's not one of my talents. You need to talk to Cam for that." Tommy hadn't known that about Cam. She'd always kept her talents to herself, not wanting to flaunt what she could do as much as some of the other vampires Tommy had come across. "What about this?" Tommy demanded, shoving his wrist in Adam's face, making sure he got a good look at the scar he'd put there. "What about it?" Adam asked, fingers gentle as he stroked the raised pink skin. "It's a fucking insult, Adam!" Tommy yelled, his temper finally getting the better of him. He pushed away from Adam then, not thinking about how he was only able to do so because the vampire was willing to let him. "You didn't think so when I did it," Adam said, confusion written on his face. "Yeah, well, that was before someone enlightened me," Tommy snapped. He got off the bed and stomped toward his open suitcase, which was on the floor near the bathroom. He was not going to have this conversation in a towel. Especially not a towel Adam apparently left for him. Who the hell did that, anyway? Tommy, Adam said, suddenly right behind him, his hands on Tommy's shoulders. They were gentle, nothing cruel or demanding about them. It bothered Tommy that he was surprised by that, that he'd automatically assumed they'd be hurtful if he ever felt them again. There'd been a time when even the barest suggestion of that would have been angrily pushed aside for the lie that it was. Tommy, you need to talk to me. I just chased you across 6 states. Now's not the time to keep the important things to yourself. Tell me. I didn't think you would, Tommy said softly, the words barely above a whisper, though he knew Adam would be able to hear them anyway. I didn't think you'd come. Of course I'd follow you, Adam said, his voice full of fond exasperation. He pulled Tommy to his feet, using just a fraction of his strength to get the point across. He wasn't taking no for an answer in this. Tommy sighed and went without complaining. He tried to tell himself that it wouldn't get him anywhere, but he knew the truth. He was just tired of being angry, of feeling hurt, of running. Adam grabbed Tommy's wrist, raising it to his lips to press a kiss to the scar there. Tommy couldn't help but shudder at the touch. Tell me what set this off? Adam asked, his lips brushing against Tommy's wrist with every word. If they were going to do this, if he was going to admit it all, there was no way he was going to do it while looking Adam in the face. He pressed his face against Adam's neck instead, finding it easier to talk when he didn't have the weight of Adam's gaze on him. The tight hug didn't hurt either. You always tell me not to wander away, Tommy said, feeling his face flush a little. Adam didn't make a joke about Tommy's sense of direction, or his ability to get lost in his own neighborhood if he wasn't paying attention. Tommy appreciated that. Who did you meet? Adam asked instead. Just some guys. One of them was like you, and I'd never seen either of them before. The thing is, it was almost like they knew me. Or you. I'm not sure how to explain it. They could tell you were marked, Adam said, squeezing Tommy a little tighter. Tommy bit back the squeak that wanted to escape. I guess, Tommy said. It dawned on him then that those two weren't the only ones who could tell. Every odd look he got since arriving in Chicago was probably down to the same thing. What had Adam called them? A gang? Whatever. Gang, clan, family, they all had one thing in common. A bond. And along came a stranger with someone's fingerprints all over him, and no one around to claim responsibility. They were okay at first, making small talk or some shit, and then one of them caught sight of my wrist. Tommy's anger was back, bleeding into his voice, and he found he couldn't even be bothered to hide it. They said you don't mark up the shit you want to keep, that it was a turnoff or something. They said it was an insult, Adam said, repeating Tommy's earlier words. Yeah, Tommy grumbled. He tried to push away from Adam, but didn't actually put any effort into it. Adam was quiet for a moment, no doubt trying to figure out just what to say. The longer it took, the more agitated Tommy got. For some people, Adam began cautiously. For some people, They wouldn't be wrong. Vampires are assholes, Tommy. You know this. Most of the time, even I can't stand them. That's why I'm more or less on my own out in L.A. So, I'm not surprised that some asshole said those things to you. But I'm not them, okay? I left the wound to heal on its own. To scar on its own. Because I wanted a mark I could see, okay? Bruises heal and blood marks are invisible. Unless your talent involves being able to see those connections. I wanted something I could touch. Something you could touch. It was a lot to take in, and Tommy didn't rush it. After he'd processed it all, he felt a little stupid. This was Adam. Tommy knew him. But still, there was so much that he didn't know. So much that Adam hadn't seen fit to tell him. That distance hurt. It led them to this. Come on, Adam said, releasing his hold on Tommy and urging him toward the bed. Lie down with me. We've got a lot to talk about. But I'm still... Tommy looked down at himself, and then back at Adam. If you feel I'm overdressed, all you have to do is say the word, Adam said with a grin. Tommy hit him on the shoulder, but didn't put up a fuss as he was urged up onto the bed. The blankets were drawn down, and Tommy dove between them, shivering as the cold bedclothes were pulled up around him. "Not coming under?" he asked, as Adam settled himself against the headboard once again, making no move to join Tommy under the covers. "Thought maybe I was still in the doghouse," Adam admitted. "Figured it might take more than half an hour to get myself out." Tommy appreciated the thought. Truly, he did. But that didn't stop him from declaring, "Fuck that shit, apologize from down here." Adam just looked down at him with a fond expression on his face. "You're just too much," he said. But he didn't argue when Tommy tugged on his arm. Tommy considered it a win. The end. This is a party without the people. This is a show without the sounds. This is a dance without the steps. Now I gave you the clue, so find what I found. This is a party without the people. This is a show without the sounds. Now I gave you the clues. So fun.